At early dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women went to the tomb of Jesus, taking with them the oils and spices they had prepared to anoint his body. And when they arrived at the tomb, we're told by Luke that the stone which had sealed the burial place had been rolled away, and that they did not find his body there. And while they were understandably perplexed and terrified by all of this, two men in dazzling white suddenly stood before them, saying, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And Luke tells us that they remembered his words, how the Son of Man would be handed over and crucified, and how on the third day he would rise again. And so the women returned from the tomb to tell the 11 and all of the rest all that had happened. But to them, the testimony of these women seemed initially, at least, to be little more than an idle tale. Wishful thinking, perhaps. Now I want us to think for a moment this morning about all of these disciples and friends of Jesus and what they must have been experiencing on that first Easter Sunday morning almost 2,000 years ago. They were grieving, yes, but their grief was more complicated even than the grief which any of us feels at the death of a friend or a loved one. Their grief was the grief of those who mourn the cruel and senseless cutting down of a loved one in the prime of life, and not by tragic illness or accident, but by calculated betrayal and by deliberate and murderous destruction. And I think this morning of the families of the victims of the terrible and senseless attacks this week in Baghdad and in Brussels. Before the tragedy of Good Friday, Jesus had become the most important person in the lives of his disciples. Jesus had become the person who gave their lives their truest meaning, and as a result of this, the disciples had promised their lives to Jesus. They had set their dreams upon him. They had placed their hopes in him. But then came Good Friday. And in the events of that day, all of their promises, all of their dreams, and all of their hopes were shattered. Their lives were smashed into 1,000 pieces. With the terrible pounding of the spikes through the hands and through the feet of Jesus, all of the promises and hopes and dreams of the disciples were nailed to the cross with him. With the terrible thrust of the soldier's spear through the side of Jesus, it was as if the very lives of these disciples were being put to death on the cross with him. And when the sun set on that Good Friday evening, all that the lives of the disciples had come to mean was buried and sealed in the tomb with Jesus. They were frightened, they were devastated and alone, and it was over. Or so they thought. But something happened. Something truly wonderful. Something unbelievably powerful happened. Because that band of sorrowful, weary, and frightened followers of Jesus became a community of people on fire with love and joy and new life. And their enthusiasm spilled over into a family of men and women which has covered the face of the whole earth and for all time. Something happened that transformed the very lives of those individuals. And that something was the resurrection of Jesus. The message of the angels that Christ is risen, the good news that life can begin again, the wondrous mystery that God's perfect love can never die. That's the meaning of Easter. That's what we're here to celebrate this morning. And that's what we're called to share with the world around us, with our families and friends, and with our neighbors the world over. The Easter celebration invites us to let the risen Jesus do for us what he did for those frightened and discouraged disciples on that first Easter so long ago. Our Easter celebration invites us to let Jesus help us to trust again when we've lost our ability to trust, to love again when we've lost our ability to love, to dream again and believe again and hope again when we've lost our ability to dream and hope and believe. Whether we're living in a place and time that has been shattered and torn apart by violence and hatred, whether we're living in a place and time that has been devastated by senseless greed or intolerance, or crippled by poverty or natural disaster, or whether in our own lives we are suffering a family death or a debilitating illness or difficulties in our relationships or struggles in our work, fear and uncertainty about what the future holds for us as individuals or as a community. No matter who we are, no matter what we suffer or what we fear, Easter invites us to let the power of the risen Christ help us to pick up the broken pieces of our lives and to start over again, even after we've given up, even when we feel it's over. Because in Easter, God reminds us that perfect love never dies and that life can begin again. Rebirth and new life are Easter realities, because God's perfect love for each and every one of us is a love that conquers all things, even death. As St. Paul reminded the Corinthians, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, then we of all people are most to be pitied. The fact is, Paul writes, that Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus is risen. That's the message of Easter. Dare to believe it. Dare to live it. And dare to share it with everyone you meet. Because even now, Christ is going before you. He is going into your streets and into your homes. He's going into your office buildings and into your marketplaces, into your prisons and into your hospitals. Look for him there, and you will see him. But even more profoundly, make manifest there his life and his love in your living and in your loving, and the world will come to know his power to save. May God bless you all with new life, new hope, and new love in this glorious Easter season, and always. Amen.